To help us survive spiritually in today's world, we need to understand how God speaks to us, as well as bring to light how the adversary speaks to us. The more we recognize the way both of these influences show up in our lives, the easier it is to discern and not be fooled. After publishing my book, Not Today, Satan, I felt like there was more to do to help my friends recognize Satan in their own lives. So here's a podcast, Not This Week, Satan, where we explore weekly ideas, experiences, and scriptures to be more aware of the adversary's influence, to help you gain greater desire, confidence, and strength to turn away from the adversary and towards Jesus. So when I decided to finally start this podcast, I set a goal for myself that I knew I could stick to without being completely overwhelmed. I decided I would do 10 episodes and call that season 1, and then take a break, evaluate, and see if season 2 will even be a thing. And guess what, you guys? Today is episode 10. We made it. And yes, I am totally proud of myself for sticking with this. It's been difficult and therapeutic and eye-opening, and I've had many moments where I've considered deleting every episode and pretending none of them ever happened. When I started with that goal, I thought maybe each episode would get 5 or so listens and I'd end the season with around 50, and that would be awesome. But you guys are incredible and have stuck with me and shared this with people you love, and at the time that I'm recording this, we're at over 750 downloads. My mind is blown, you guys. I know that is still relatively small for a podcast, but I am in awe that there are that many listens so far. But something even more amazing has also happened. Almost every single week after finishing recording and editing, I've thought, this might be the one that resonates with no one. This might be the one that causes everyone to stop listening. But each week I've received messages from different people about how that week's episode was something they needed to hear. And many of you have shared your real and raw experiences with me, and I am so beyond grateful to hear from you. So grateful to feel trusted by you and humbled to know that something that was said in each of these episodes was helpful to at least one person. That has been the goal the entire time, but I had no clue how special it would feel to actually hear and know that that goal was being accomplished, that I was helping at least one person to come closer to Jesus by being more aware of Satan. It's the coolest, and thank you all for being just the best humans. Okay, one more item of business. My kids have been Not This Week Satan's biggest fans. They love listening to the latest episodes to fall asleep to at night, and they cheer and chant Podcast Day every Thursday. They always give me uninterrupted time to work on it when I need, and so I, and mostly they, thought they should make a guest appearance today. So we'll start with Reese.
Hi, I'm Reese.
Hi, Reese. Reese, I have a question for you. What has been your favorite episode of the podcast and why?
I like the episode 5 because Daddy is in it.
Ooh, I like that one too. Okay, thank you. And now we have Graham.
Hi, I'm Graham.
Hey, Graham. So my question for you is, what was your favorite episode of the podcast and why?
My favorite episode is episode 9, and I like it because it has the cone kid.
Oh, it was funny, huh? All right, thank you. And now we have Ellie.
Hi, I'm Ellie.
Hey, Ellie. So your question is the same as the other kids. Yeah. What was your favorite episode of the podcast and why?
Probably episode 1 and... because it was the first episode of your podcast.
Oh, okay.
Where your podcast started.
And did you like that there was a story about you in it?
I didn't know I was the person in the story. For reals, I didn't. I thought you were talking about Reese. I thought that was like a different time.
All right. But you liked it anyway?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Ellie.
Can we restart or no?
No. Okay. So with all that introduction being said, season 1 finale, let's get to it. Are we going to start in the scriptures? Yes. Yes, we are. We'll start in Isaiah chapter 14. This chapter is about the millennium after Christ comes. Isaiah gives some idea of things we'll see and feel and hear in that time. And there's this amazing little blurb about the adversary. In verse 12, he starts calling out Satan, or Lucifer, about how he had fallen, how he said he would climb back to heaven and sit above the stars of God and be the Most High. But it turns out that's not the case, not even close. Then Isaiah says in verse 16, "They that see thee," I guess I should clarify that "the" in this verse is the adversary, "they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms?" I love the hope this gives us against this enemy of ours. When we see him for who he truly is, we can look at him and say, this is the guy, this is who we've been wrestling with all this time. This guy caused so much chaos in our lives. We'll be surprised when we see him, because we will see just how inferior he is to our Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't believe that we have to wait for that millennial day, though, to see the adversary for who he really is. We don't have to wait to realize our own power over him. Isaiah's words are relevant for us today, too, right now. We can expose Satan, his intentions to hurt us, and his mediocre abilities to actually do so. I've been talking about this into this microphone for 10 weeks now. You have the power to discern good from evil, to see him for who he really is, to overcome his influence, to cast him out, and to feel the peace your Savior offers you today. But the only way I've found to do this is by staying close to heaven. You have heavenly parents, a Savior, a Spirit who not only can be your constant companion, but who is also a member of the Godhead. By strengthening the relationships with that deity, you will find the power you need to overcome that adversary, to see clearly who he is, and to be much more resistant to his deception. One way to strengthen those relationships is by stretching your abilities to receive personal revelation. Learn how God talks to you, trust what he says, and then act on it. Each time you do, your capacity will increase and your ability will grow. And like I mentioned before, the greater that capacity is, the more strength you'll have against the power of the adversary. I want to share an ongoing experience that I've had over the last couple of years. I'm not sure it will resonate with anyone, but I have a feeling it needs to be shared. And this is my podcast, so I can follow all the feelings I want. So here goes. About 2 years ago, I was struggling with mental health more than I ever have in my life. We were on vacation in California, and I was just covered in darkness. I didn't even know why. The kids were great and having so much fun. My husband was and is the coolest. We didn't have any stressful activities planned, just hanging out beach time. But I could not get my mind out of the darkest places. On our second or third day, I remember we were driving to our hotel from the beach. I was staring out the window on our drive and had a very clear impression from the Spirit, which honestly, I wasn't getting many of those at that time. But along with the warmest of warm feelings of comfort came the thought, you need to try therapy. With that thought and me telling myself, okay, sure, that darkness was instantly lifted. The rest of our vacation was great, but that's not the end of the story. We got home from vacation and I thought, well, that darkness lifted, so I guess I don't need therapy after all. Wrong. The thoughts and feelings and darkness that had been haunting me all definitely came back eventually. And I spent another entire year with them before finally acting on that prompting. As weird as it sounds, I believe that Satan leaving me alone for a time in that scenario was a sneaky strategy of his to entice me to trust myself more than I trusted God. When I was desperate for help, help came. But then as Satan fled, I no longer trusted the help. I no longer trusted what God had said. I heard him, but I forgot the trust and the act part. Just because to me it seemed like the problem was already solved, without me having to do the hard things I was asked to do to solve it. But our Heavenly Father knows us better than we know ourselves. His thoughts are far higher than ours, and He knows what is best for us. He knew I needed that counsel for more than just how I was feeling in the moment He gave it to me. So, like I said, a year later, I acted on the prompting. Kind of. I went to therapy, but ended up quitting after 2 sessions, mostly because the therapist wasn't a good fit for me. But in my second session, there was an incident that helped me make the decision to call it quits, involving me trying to bare my soul to a giant Band-Aid, a missing toenail, and a whole lot of Neosporin. Why those things couldn't wait until our session was over, I do not know. And I don't want to get into the details here, but you can ask me about that later if you want. When I called it quits with that therapist, I was planning on finding another one that would maybe be a better fit for me. But then again, the darkness didn't seem too bad, so I convinced myself again that I probably didn't need to listen to what God was telling me. Fast forward through the next year, another year of roller coaster up and downs with the same things I had been struggling with before. Last night, as per usual, I was awake in the middle of the night, overthinking my entire existence, of course, and wondering, why can't I seem to get over these same things I've been struggling with for so long? Then the 3 a.m. thought came, and it sounded and it felt almost exactly the same as that one in California 2 years earlier. You need to try therapy. There are things that need healing that you don't know how to heal. Guess what happened when I woke up this morning? I felt great. Darkness lifted? Check. Plan for finding a therapist? Nope, because I felt great. I didn't need it. And then the past 2 years flooded into my mind. I realized this was a pattern I've seen, but it's a pattern that I am no longer willing to repeat. I see the adversary's role. I see his manipulation, and I'm not here for it anymore. I felt him quietly back away today in hopes that with a little relief from his influence, I would let go of my trust in Heavenly Father's individualized, loving counsel that was given personally to me for my specific struggle and situation. But I'm not letting go of that trust this time. It's not going to happen. Not today. I'm not going to wait for the adversary to show up again. I'm going to trust my Father in heaven and act on his guidance now. Because I know that even though I'm feeling okay, he knows more. He knows what I need, and I need to listen. Even though this story of mine doesn't quite have a resolution yet, it feels important to share, to show an example of the back and forth of listening to the Spirit and being enticed by the adversary, and to remind you that choosing a side isn't a one-time thing. Throughout this life, Satan and his followers will continue to pester us, and we will continue to have opportunities to use our agency to deny them. Sometimes we may be deceived, and other times we may willingly buy into their agenda, but there is always a way back. There is always another chance to choose God. Heavenly Father is always waiting and watching and eager to guide us as we seek his help. I hope that today you will feel inspired to strengthen your relationship with God and look for how the adversary is working in your life that you may not be aware of. And as you discover Satan's tactics in your own life, look on him narrowly, just as Isaiah described. We can fulfill that prophecy about the adversary now by not being afraid of him, by not giving him credit, and by realizing that we are so much more powerful than he is, and that we have the privilege to draw on God's power. Stay in the light and be aware of the darkness. You don't have to wait for anything to be able to see him for who he is and to be able to say, "This guy? This is the guy that's been causing so much trouble and thinks he can manipulate me? No way. Not gonna happen. Not today, Satan. Not today."